want to introduce again to you our speaker, Yotis Kantartzis. He is the pastor, the senior minister of First Greek Evangelical Church in Athens. And I really want to encourage you to get a few minutes with him while he is here and just hear about his vision for what God is doing in Athens. You've already heard about it some in the sermons, but in a private one-on-one conversation, he is a visionary, and he has a heart and a passion for that city. And it's great and inspiring to hear that vision. So I hope you'll have an opportunity to spend some time with him. The scripture that the sermon is based upon tonight is from Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain money lender who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You've judged rightly." Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is God's word.
Well, it's great to be back. I need to tell you that Patrick politely pointed the clock to me, and he said, "Did Claude tell you what is the end time?" Not the end times. But so we're not going to stay here till the Lord comes, I promise you. I'll try to be concise. Actually, I would like to continue on the same theme that we started yesterday. I remind you that yesterday morning we talked about from Luke 15, where we saw that surprising closeness of God. You remember that? Sinners and tax collectors were drawing near to Christ. Okay? And actually, what we're going to do today and tomorrow, Lord willing, we will see two stories. One has to do with the sinner and the other with the tax collector, both of them drawing near to Jesus. But before we come to that story that we just read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, let me tell you another story. There was this young man, a young guy in Athens. He was a drug addict. And he got clean. He started attending our church. After a while, his mother also started coming to our church. She loved it. She came very close. She accepted the gospel. But at a certain time, so goes the story, Gregory, that's the name of that guy, he had a relapse, so he disappeared. After a while, his mother also disappeared. So I give her a call after a while, and I say, Stavroula, we've missed you. That's her name. We've missed you. We haven't seen you for a long time. I mean, why you're not coming to the church? And she said something to me that I will never forget. It made such a great impression, and it made me think very hard about me, us, our church. She said, answering why she's not showing up at the church, she says, I feel embarrassed. And I started thinking, what kind of a church are we that a sinner feels embarrassed to come? Perhaps that doesn't strike you as a strange thing, but let me tell you an analogy. Imagine that you are embarrassed to go to the dentist because you have a cavity on your tooth. Or imagine that you say, how can I go to the car shop, to the mechanic? My car has broke. But actually, that's exactly why you go to the dentist. That's exactly why you go to the car shop. That's exactly why you need to go to the church. And we see that in Jesus' life, the sinners and the tax collectors were drawing near to him. So the question is, why? Why in our lives, in our churches, in my church, I cannot talk about your church, in my church, sinners like Stavroula feel embarrassed to come? This story that we just read perhaps gives us an answer. And perhaps the answer is this, that many times, unfortunately, our churches and our lives look very much alike the dining room of the house of Simon. Here is the story. Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus for dinner. And Jesus accepts the invitation. We said yesterday that the Gospel of Luke can be summarized as Jesus going to a dinner, being at a dinner, and leaving a dinner. Okay, so it's all about eating. So he goes to the house of that Pharisee, and he takes his place, reclining at the table. And all of a sudden, there is an interruption. And I don't know if it's up there in verse 37, it's interesting how the story actually begins. And there is a very interesting word. It says, and behold. You see that? And behold. And that betrays a sense of surprise. Okay? Something that is totally unexpected. I mean, you don't expect a sinner to be at Simon's place. But behold, a sinner is there. And as soon as she arrives, she knows her place. We read in verse 38 that she is standing behind him, Jesus, at his feet. A sinner at Simon's place needs to be at the back and down, hidden, not to be seen. And of course, you know, we know the story, we just heard it. She expresses this extravagant love and devotion to Jesus, and Simon was nervous, and now he's upset. And Jesus starts talking to him. And I would like us, because the time goes by fast, I would like us to focus in one question. As Jesus is dealing with Simon, he asks a very strange question to him. And we find this question at verse 44. Jesus says to Simon, Do you see that woman? What kind of question is that? Do you see that woman? I mean, how can not see her? How can you miss that? But I think Jesus Christ, with this question, tries to get to something very, very important. Because many times our problem is that we see without seeing. And that happens in our churches, that may happen in our neighborhoods, that may happen in our everyday life. We may see people without really seeing them. We may see the sinner, but without really seeing them. So Jesus asks, do you see that woman? And then he does something which is really very, very interesting, and I'm sure very disturbing to Simon. If you read with me in verse 44 onwards, five times Jesus uses, now this is a little bit of grammar, the demonstrative pronoun. You know what is the demonstrative pronoun, okay? When you show somebody, you say, this, this guy, okay? So, read with me. After he asked, do you see that woman? Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she, this in Greek, in the text, is a demonstrative pronoun. It's not a personal pronoun. So it's as if Jesus is pointing to that woman, okay? But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she, again, he points to her, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she had anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. I don't know if you see the point. Simon tries to avoid looking at that woman. He feels awkward. She is a Pharisee. She is a sinner. So he prefers to see her without really seeing her. And Jesus does something really tremendous. Five times, he says, look at her. Again. Look more carefully. Make sure you don't miss her. Look at her again and again and again. Why? Because mission starts when we see what God sees. Interestingly enough, for Simon, this sinner is at the back, down, at the background. For Jesus, she is at the center of the stage. So he tries to teach Simon how to see, how to view reality. And that's something that we all need in order to be on a mission. Now, I think it's worth asking this question. What is the problem with Simon? Why is Simon like that? Why Simon sees the sinner without seeing her? And I would like to point out two main problems, that they may be our problems as well. The first thing is that Simon believes that what happens in his place is his party with Jesus. So no others are allowed, or only those that he invites. I think he sees this woman as an intruder, as a nuisance. Who she is? Why does she show up? He thinks that this is his party with Jesus. And I need to tell you, I'm a pastor in a very old and traditional church, and that is a big problem in our churches, at least in my church, especially with people. I mean, I was teasing Brother Bill earlier, and perhaps he's one of the oldest members, and I'm sure that he's a good man, but there are a lot of people who have been for too long in a church that they think that this is my party with Jesus. Who are these new people who are showing up and, you know, they cause all this disturbance? I was once in a church in the UK. I was preaching the church, and they had two services. So, you know, the first service, 8 o'clock in the morning, it was about 20, 25 people, old folk. So I preached, and then after intermission, we had the second service, 150, 200 people, young families, kids. So I asked the pastor, I said, can I ask you a question? Why do you have two services? I mean, why do you combine the two? You have space. He says, no, you don't understand. these 25 people that you saw are the people who have been, who were in the church when I arrived here. So when new people started coming, they said, okay, he's taking my place. You know, this is where I'm sitting, you know, like the last 2 decades. Who's this guy who comes here? And, you know, they want these new things. And there was so much trouble that I said to them, okay, well, I'll keep a service just for you. The way you like it is your party with Jesus. And we'll do something else later. I think that's Simon's problem. And I think that is, it may be, it definitely is our problem in my church back in Athens. And that explains why a sinner is not welcomed, does not feel welcomed in our churches or in our lives. But there is another explanation which is deeper and more profound. The first problem with Simon is that he believes that that's his party with Jesus. The second problem with Simon is that he does not understand the gospel. He does not understand the gospel. It's very interesting to see how Simon refers to that woman. Read with me in verse 39. He says, if this man were a prophet, he would have known, notice, who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. It's very interesting how he talks about her. If he knew who and what kind. So Simon believes very clearly that he himself is of a different kind, you realize. So what kind of woman is? She's a sinner. So she's that kind, she's a sinner, but I'm a different kind. You know, I deserve for Jesus to sit on my table. I invite him, and, you know, I'm worth having Jesus on my table. And Jesus says this parable, which we can analyze, but I think the key point of the parable is the first phrase where we read verse 41. In English, a certain money lender had 2 debtors, okay? In Greek, is the reverse order. 2 debtors there were to a certain money lender. 2 debtors. Can you get the point? So who are the 2 debtors? The sinful woman and Simon. So, in a way, Jesus Christ says that, you know, no matter how much money you owe, the fact is that you are of the same kind. 2 debtors. So, the reason why Jesus is in the house of Simon eating with him is the exact same reason why he lets that sinful woman touch him. Is because he's the friend of sinners. The friend of sinners. And unless we realize that, and unless we accept that, and unless we come to grips with that, we will never be a welcoming environment for the sinner. If we think that we are of a different kind, we are not. We're all sinners saved by grace. Let me tell you a little bit more about our story. I started telling you last night about our church. God has placed us in the center of the city. It's an amazing location. It's a great blessing to have a church building in that location in the city of Athens. The city of Athens is a city of about 4 million. And you know, as I said yesterday, when you are a small minority, it's very easy to say, okay, you know what, the world is a hostile place, and so let's be around these 4 walls, and, you know, let's take care of ourselves, and let's enjoy the party with Jesus. And ignore what's going on around you. But the Lord has his way, like he did with Simon, to say, do you see that woman? Sometimes, you know, we try to avoid. Do you see those people out there? Do you? Do you see those people? Do you see not those people over there? I mean, if I look around, there are houses, there are people living around this very neighborhood. Do you see these people? In our case, God had he didn't do it the same way like Simon. He did it in the most profound way. 2008, there was a riot. Perhaps you remember when we had the financial crisis in Greece, there were so many demonstrations, riots all the time. So that particular time, I may give more details about this story, but I'm just going to focus on one point. There was a riot, and young people, teenagers, some of them, so they came all the way in front of our church. That's a good thing when you are at the center of the city. You know, you feel what's going on in the city. So the demonstrators and, the people came right in front of our church, and they started fighting with the police, and there was, the anarchists, they were starting throwing marbles. Marble is very inexpensive in Greece, so we just throw it to each other. Because I need always to explain that when I say this story. So I enter the church right after because I was nearby and somebody called me because we were in the news. And as I entered the sanctuary, imagine that this is the sanctuary and all the windows, like big windows like those, they were all the glass was broken. The church was full of glass, marbles. It was a terrible sight. For me, that was my starting point. I'll tell you more perhaps tomorrow or on Wednesday. But for me, that was the beginning of a new life. I realized that God was telling me, do you see outside? Do you see these people? I mean, I can see them without seeing them. I mean, how many people have you met even today? Think about that. You saw them without really seeing them. And you know what? Like with Simon, sometimes God needs to say that again. You see five times, do you see that woman? Okay, God, I got it. But you see that woman. So that happened a second time. A few years later, again, a riot. They broke all the windows. And then, after a few years, a third time. The third time, I asked the board of the elders and I said, can we wait and not fix the windows and have a worship service with all our windows broken? And so we did. So we have a Sunday morning service. We are in that sanctuary and imagine all the glass. I mean, literally everything was broken. So in the middle of my sermon, I said, okay, now let's pause. Please take a good look. This is God saying us, do you see that woman? And, we don't have enough money to keep on fixing these windows, But I think that God will keep doing that till we actually say, yes, we do see that woman. And so that's, in a way, God's way to force us out of our comfort zone, Claude. To make us look in ways and in directions that sometimes we feel awkward and we don't like. But the reason why we do that is because we're going to see the same way that God sees. We're going to rejoice with what God rejoices. We're going to focus on what God focuses. And my challenge, and we will continue to talk more about that, my challenge is to ask God to open our eyes to see what perhaps for many years we are avoiding seeing. And I'm sure that interesting things will happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we come confessing that many times we are like Simon. We want to keep you for ourselves. We want exclusivity. We want the party to be about us and you. But Lord, you keep telling us to see beyond ourselves. And we confess that many times we see without really seeing. And we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us. But also we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes so that we can see in fresh ways. We can see people that for many years were in front of us and we were avoiding to see them. Lord, give us a new heart. Give us a new sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.